The Undivided Podcast is brought to you by 1530 Mortgage. Visit them at 1530mortgage.com. Today, I'm checking in from the sunny state of Florida, which might as well be a different country compared to Washington State. Also, an assistant police chief in the city of Kent, Washington, is now out of a job after displaying a Nazi insignia on his office door.
The actions of Derek Camerazell should have not happened ever.
Plus, Governor Jay Inslee wants to make it illegal for some people to tell lies about elections. Hello and welcome to the Undivided Podcast. I don't know if you can tell, it sounds a little different today. I'm in Florida. I'm coming back today, actually. But you know, it's interesting working for yourself. You're like, gosh, I can't really take a vacation. There's no one else to do the work if I don't do it. I'm down in Miami visiting my sister. I don't know if you can hear the ocean in the background, but I left the patio door open so you can get some ambiance from Florida. Gosh, it's really nice here. It's interesting. My boyfriend and I, we're among the crowd, I think, that's pretty tired of the pandemic and tired of the restrictions. Again, you know, I think COVID's a real thing. I'm vaccinated. But I have to imagine for most of us, the way of life that it's created, especially in Washington State, is wearing on you. I know it's wearing on me. And so part of our motivation for coming down to Florida was to kind of see, you know, people say it's the free state of Florida. And I'm like, well, I wonder how different it really is. And I have an answer for you. It's much different. It's totally different. So obviously we had our masks on at the airport and on the plane, but I have not worn a mask since in Florida. We got to our hotel and there was a sign on the door basically saying if you're fully vaccinated, then masks are optional. And it said if you're not, then you should wear a mask. And it was already so different. Of course, we're fully vaccinated, so we just tore our masks off. And I don't even know where it is. I better find it before I hop on the plane. But I gotta say, it's just been really nice. And you know, my philosophy around masking, I imagine, is similar to a lot of yours. I'm not going to throw a fit about it. I'm not going to throw a fit on an airplane. If there's a business that I choose to patronize and they, you know, are required to have customers wear a mask, or if the business just wants people to wear a mask and I choose to go there, I'm going to abide by the rules that they have set forth for me coming into their establishment. I have no issue with that whatsoever. But, you know, being fully vaccinated and being a healthy young adult, wherever I can get away with not wearing a mask, I'm not going to wear one. And, you know, had I come to this hotel in Florida and had there been a ton of people wearing masks, I would have done. If I'm around crowds of people and they're wearing masks when they don't have to, that tells me that they probably care, which I'm going to just respect and appreciate, and I'll toss a mask on. That doesn't bother me. But there have been no mask wearing here at the bars, at the restaurants. There really has been absolutely none. And it's kind of been nice to feel as if it's pre-pandemic. And I know that COVID cases are rising, but Omicron is not as severe. We know that people who are dying have multiple comorbidities. The CDC director just acknowledged that. And so at the end of the day, it felt great for us to get back to what feels like the real world. And honestly, we had a really good time. My boyfriend's like, oh, we should live in Florida. He's like, wants to leave, but we've got too much going on back home. So I'm looking forward to getting back home. But it was a nice little respite in the meantime. All right, a couple stories that came to a head while I was out of the state. There has been this story that I got tipped off to about a week and a half ago, I think. The Kent Police Department, if you're not familiar, Kent is a suburb of Seattle, basically. And their assistant chief was under investigation for some bizarre happenings. His name is Assistant Chief Derek Camerazell. And on his door to his office, he had an SS, a Nazi SS rank insignia posted above his name on his door. Of course, the SS was like Adolf Hitler's paramilitary forces that murdered millions of Jewish people during the Holocaust. Assistant Chief Camerazell is, or was, I'll get to that in a moment, in charge of the department's patrol division. And there had been another Kent PD detective in the Investigations Bureau So basically a subordinate of Camerzel who saw it and filed a complaint and knew what it meant. Now, Assistant Chief Camerzel had made the excuse that he didn't really fully know the significance of it. And the outside investigator just said that that was not believable, that they believed that he knew exactly what it meant. That was sort of supported by some other findings that Camerzel had joked about the Holocaust before. He apparently shaved his facial hair into a Hitler mustache once on purpose and had told a joke about his grandfather dying in the Holocaust, but not because he was killed in the Holocaust, but because he got drunk and fell out of a guard tower. So clearly this assistant chief had some issues with making inappropriate comments or actions pertaining to the Holocaust. So Assistant Chief Camerzel had 27 years on the department, and the initial decision by the chief of police there was to give the assistant chief 2 weeks off without pay. However, he was allowed to use up vacation time to compensate for that. So he actually wouldn't go without, you know, pay for 2 weeks. And he had to take cultural sensitivity training. Now, there was a bit of an outcry over this being the punishment for displaying a Nazi insignia, making the jokes that he made. And I'm going to be honest, I agree with all of that backlash. You know, you guys know that I'm very pro-law enforcement. I recognize the incredibly difficult job that they do every single day. But police officers like this and instances like this make it very, very hard, especially in a state like Washington, for the rest of the law enforcement community, people who are showing up every day, doing their job with honor and dignity and respect. During the 2020 riots, I can't tell you how many times I saw spray painted on buildings in downtown Seattle about how police are Nazis, and that comparison being used a lot, which I think is utterly absurd. But then when you have an assistant chief of a police department who's displaying a Nazi insignia and shaving his mustache into a Hitler stash on purpose, well, that kind of makes it difficult next time you go to defend the police against, you know, moron rioters who are calling them Nazis. To me, you know, 2 weeks without pay is an absurd punishment in this instance. I agree full-heartedly, frankly, with the backlash over that. Now, when this punishment came down, Assistant Chief Camerzel told the Kent Reporter that he said he was deeply embarrassed by the incident, and he maintained that he didn't fully understand the Nazi affiliation, which, again, the internal investigation, and I tend to agree with this too, I tend to believe that that's bullshit based on what I've read about this. Now, after some of the backlash in the community, Kent Mayor Dana Ralph, who I have a ton of respect for as a politician, she came out and she basically said she read a statement at a city council meeting and said that they, you know, felt like the city had done its due diligence by immediately investigating Assistant Chief Camerzel when this accusation arose. But she said that, I'll read from her quote, "It's clear that the process did not produce the result acceptable to our community or, quite honestly, me." So she comes out and she asks for Derek Camerzel's resignation. And that was on a Tuesday. And then on a Friday, Mayor Ralph and Police Chief Padilla in Kent put out a joint video statement saying that Derek Camerzel no longer works for the Kent Police Department.
"Given the controversy surrounding Derek Camerzel and his actions, I felt it was extremely important to directly address the residents of Kent about this situation and what has occurred.
I want to make it crystal clear that the actions of Derek Camerzel should have not happened ever, and that where we are today is that the only suitable resolution to all of this is that he no longer be a part of our police department.
Throughout the past several days, it's become quite clear to me that our community, that our region is hurting, and your trust in us has been damaged, and our response in handling this situation has fallen short. I want to apologize to the Kent community for the wound that this situation has caused and acknowledge the hurt and frustration that I have felt from Kent families. I want to thank those of you that have reached out to me and been willing to have those difficult conversations and provide constructive feedback on how we do better. As your mayor, the buck stops with me. It stops right here."
And look, I think it's the right outcome. I understand. I'm kind of two minds about this. I don't like outcomes that are produced as a result of public outrage. I do believe that you need to have, especially when it comes to police in this climate, there's been a tendency of politicians to allow public outcry to dictate everything they do as it pertains to policing. And I believe that that's had some negative consequences. So I do believe you need to have sort of a set of rules around what actions warrant what discipline. And I'm not in favor of, you know, an agency or a city putting one discipline down behind the scenes, and then as soon as it becomes public and as soon as there's an outcry, they change the discipline to better suit the public reaction. I don't believe in that. At the same time, in this instance, he shouldn't be an assistant chief anymore. You know, that shouldn't be someone you have in the highest ranks of the department. And so I thought, at the very least, there should be some sort of demotion. Now, whatever happened behind the scenes that led to him no longer being at the Kent Police Department, I believe it's an appropriate outcome. I'm a little surprised that that wasn't the initial outcome. And again, I'm not trying to be anti-police. I'm trying to be pro-good police. And when you've got in a city like Seattle and in an area, you know, like Western Washington, when you've got a lack of respect for law enforcement, a lack of trust in law enforcement among certain communities, and when you've got, you know, rioters out and protesters out calling police officers Nazis, and you want to be able to defend against that and defend good officers who are doing really difficult work right now, and then you've got some moron assistant chief who puts a Nazi insignia above his door, clearly understood what it meant, and had made other jokes and references to the Holocaust. That is really counterproductive for those of us who are trying to defend police officers and law enforcement at a very, very challenging time for them. And for all of those reasons, I believe the end result was appropriate. I don't agree with or understand the path to get there. But at the end of the day, if you're a police officer of any rank, what Derek Camersole did is unacceptable. As an assistant chief, he is held to the very highest standard. Frankly, he should have known better. Okay, another story that dropped while I was away in Florida that I just had to talk about. Governor Jay Inslee wants lying about elections to be a crime. He said he supports legislation that would make it a gross misdemeanor for elected officials or candidates for public office to lie about elections. The governor saying, quote, "It should not be legal in the state of Washington for elected officials or candidates for office to willfully lie about these election results. And unfortunately, they are doing that. This needs to be made illegal." The governor first talked about this. There's a legislative preview event every year before the legislative session begins, which started today, by the way. Where it's hosted by the Associated Press, and there's journalists there and politicians, and they talk about priorities. And this event also happened to happen on January 6th, so 1 year since the Capitol riot. And so obviously the topic of stolen elections and election fraud and all of that is sort of top of mind, because that's what led to the riot in the first place, are those claims by the former president. Governor Inslee saying the violence of January 6th of last year is just a warning of what is coming, and the basis of it is the big lie, referring to Donald Trump saying the election was stolen from him. Now, the governor is saying that this is finishing touches are being put on a bill that would make lying about elections illegal, and that he's talking to lawmakers about putting their efforts behind it and about sponsoring it. Now, there was immediate backlash to this because, I mean, for obvious reasons, it seems unconstitutional completely. And the governor had sort of clarified that this would pertain to statements made about elections that were obvious lies and they could, quote, stoke violence. The governor says that he does not see this as a violation of freedom of speech, which I don't know who he's getting that advice from. I don't know if he's spoken to Bob Ferguson about that, the Attorney General of Washington, but it very clearly is a violation of the Constitution. It's clearly a violation of free speech. Now, Republicans had some mixed reactions to this in Washington state. Representative Drew Stokesbury, who's a Republican, said threatening to jail people for political speech is as dangerous to our democracy as questioning election results. House Republican leader J.T. Wilcox said he hadn't seen the language of this proposed bill, but this quote cracked me up. He said, the governor is trying to make news. I'm not going to help him. Let's say somehow in the Democratic-controlled legislature in Washington state, a bill like this were to pass. I would find it incredibly hard to build a criminal case around something like a politician or a candidate claiming that the election was stolen from Donald Trump. You would have to, in order to prove that, even though it's a lie, obviously, but in order to prove that a definitive lie in a courtroom, I don't know what you'd have to do. Would you have to go through and audit every single vote in the entire country to prove definitively that that didn't happen? I mean, what would the standard, what would the legal standard be? Now, look, the lies around elections have to stop. It's perfectly reasonable to have questions about elections, to have concerns about elections, to have concerns about opportunity for fraud in elections. You know, those are all healthy conversations that we've been having in Washington state for a long time, ever since our 2004 gubernatorial campaign, where a Republican won and then lost. But when you've got someone like Lauren Kolb, who was the former Republican candidate for governor in 2020, who lost by something like 500,000 votes and then refused to concede and made all these vague claims of voter fraud, that's absurdity. And for Republicans who do try to glob on to claims of stolen elections, to be spending so much of their time and energy in that regard, in that vein, as opposed to spending their time and energy figuring out, okay, how can we win elections? How can we up voter turnout? How can we make sure that we have representation in public office for our constituents? That is a much better use of your time than going around like a sad sack loser spreading election lies to make yourself feel better. That's ridiculous. And I don't believe anybody listening to this is foolish enough to believe those lies. And again, that doesn't mean that you believe elections are absolutely perfect or that there's never any instances of fraud or never any opportunities for fraud. But the bottom line is, I think that we could, I go back to something Drew Stokesbury said in that quote I read for you. He said, you combat bad speech with better speech, not criminal sanctions. And that's the thing, is you just have to have more people in positions of power speak out, reject unreasonable claims about the election, lies about elections, and then you move on from there. And so maybe Jay Inslee is just trying to make headlines with this, get his name. Maybe he's going to run for president. I have no idea. But this is absurd. I'm hopeful that this doesn't make it anywhere during the legislative session, which again began today in Washington state. Lord knows they have a ton of other things going on. They passed a lot of anti-police legislation last year that they need to go back and fix because of unintended consequences. They have a variety of things that they need to take care of, and they should be working to rein in Governor Jay Inslee's emergency power now that we're coming up on 2 years under a state of emergency related to the pandemic. So trying to criminalize free speech, as dumb as that speech is an absolute waste of time. And honestly, shame on the governor for even bringing it up. Thank you so much for joining us on the Undivided Podcast, my first podcast on the road. So I'll be leaving Florida today, coming back. I'm hoping, I didn't want to talk too much about, I haven't posted any pictures from my vacation because when we left Washington State, it was gross out. It had, snowed, as you guys know, several feet. And then in our neighborhood, we're leaving at 3 a.m. and there was rain coming down. And so it was puddling up and it was just a disaster. And I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot post pictures in Florida. Because people are going to hate me. Maybe I'll wait a couple days and then I'll post some pictures from vacation because it was really, really nice to be down here and feel like, honestly, even though we're not post-pandemic and cases are rising, I felt like we were in a post-pandemic world down here. And it was just really nice to get away for a couple days. Thank you so much for listening to the Undivided Podcast. The podcast is growing so much, by the way. We just hit 100,000 listens, which is really exciting considering we just started the podcast a couple months ago. If the podcast is something you enjoy, share it with a friend, send it to a friend and say, hey, I think you'd like this. We're just going to continue to grow this mission to bring common sense and reason back into public discourse. The Undivided Podcast is brought to you by 1530 Mortgage. You can visit them at 1530mortgage.com.